Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. All of chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer, his deeply felt prayer before the events in chapter 18, which in John is the chapter where he is arrested in the garden and so forth. So this is a very significant moment and a time of prayer that Jesus is giving before the end. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The word of the Lord.
We've all been in situations where we were not part of a conversation, but we could hear every word. Maybe at a restaurant, maybe on a train, plane, bus, maybe sitting in a hospital waiting room. I've sat in a lot of hospital waiting rooms over the years, and believe me, it is amazing what you will hear. People will gather together to wait for the news from the doctor about a loved one, and they will talk about anything and everything. It is so hard not to listen in on their conversations. Many times you learn about what's happening at their church, place of work, within the family, and who they can't believe had the audacity to show up at grandma's surgery. Then when the doctor comes out, I really try my hardest not to listen. But even with all of the HIPAA laws today, the conversations are loud enough that you can't help but know that grandma's going to be okay, but she'll never be like new. I can't help but listen in, and then it makes me very uncomfortable that I am hearing intimate conversations, but they're sitting right next to you, or at least close enough that we don't have to strain too hard to listen. In restaurants, it's almost the same thing. The people at the next table will talk about what's happening at their church, place of work, gossip in the family, and who they can't believe had the audacity to show up at grandpa's birthday party. Sometimes we hear people next to us arguing or professing their love to each other or discussing their children. We can't help but listen in, and yet we are not a part of the conversation. The words are not directed at us, and it can make us feel very uncomfortable. Chapter 17 of the Gospel of John makes me as uncomfortable as sitting in a hospital waiting room and sitting in a restaurant overhearing, listening in on a conversation where intimate feelings are being shared. It makes me uncomfortable because this chapter is a prayer that Jesus prays to God.
As Martha said, the text takes us to before Jesus is arrested and crucified, and it's the time right before the arrest that Jesus prays to God. This is not a prayer where Jesus is teaching us to pray a certain way. This is Jesus talking with God. This is Jesus conversing with God. This is Jesus praying to God. While the scriptures are filled with messages for us, the words that we read today are not words for us. These are words that Jesus says to God about himself, about his disciples, about us. I get uncomfortable because these are words of a person who is facing death by crucifixion. Words of a person in conversation with God, a private, heartfelt conversation with God. The words of this prayer are not directed at the disciples. The disciples didn't have a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said, oh, great, I'll go share that with God. This prayer is not even last-minute instructions to us about how to live together as church. Chapter 17 isn't even words of advice to the disciples. Up to this point, Jesus has been teaching and instructing his disciples. Right before this, Jesus shares communion with his disciples and washes their feet. He gives them a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus tells his disciples that just as God has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in love. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Then when Jesus finishes talking with his disciples, he looks up to heaven and prays to God. And this is where we find ourselves trapped. Do we give Jesus his privacy? Do we step out of the room or out of the house onto the porch so that Jesus can have some private time? Do we start talking loudly to each other to show that we're not listening in? Do we say, hey, Jesus, we can hear you. You may not want to talk so loud. Do we let Jesus know that his private thoughts make us very uncomfortable? We can do that at a hospital. We can do that at a restaurant. We can turn to the table next to us and let them know either by looking at them or clearing our throat or something. Let them know that we can hear them. But Jesus just starts talking to God. We're there with Jesus, and Jesus just starts talking to God. We are left in a position where we can't really interrupt. There isn't an opportunity to excuse ourselves. So what else is there for us to do but to listen in? Maybe we'll find out some secrets. Maybe we'll hear Jesus ask God to stop the people that are trying to kill him. Maybe we will hear God's voice. They say it sounds like thunder. Maybe we will feel like we are listening in to someone talking a language that we don't understand. Maybe we will finally hear the answers to the mysteries of the world. Whatever we find out, the Gospel of John has given us this prayer between Jesus and God for us to overhear. As we listen, we find out that Jesus and God are pretty close in their relationship. It appears that those who follow Jesus first belong to God, and God gave them to Jesus. Now that Jesus is about to complete his revelation of God on the eve of his completion, Jesus prays for us. Jesus tells God that he is handing us back to God, but there are some stipulations. There is now a community that follows Christ, and the revelation of God's nature shapes this community. Now that Jesus is leaving, before Jesus leaves, Jesus asks God to make sure that this continues. Jesus places the future of his followers into God's hands. Jesus hands us back to God. But after following Jesus, we look a little different than when God gave us to Jesus. Now we have a different understanding of God. As Jesus gives us back, as you heard Martha read, he asked God to protect us and to keep us as a community grounded in God. Jesus prays that just as he was set apart for us, we may be set apart in truth. So there's nothing too juicy yet in what we're overhearing. In fact, it's a little startling when compared to some of our prayers. It would have been a whole lot more realistic if, while listening, we had heard Jesus ask for God to protect him. Instead, Jesus is worried about us. Jesus wants God to take care of our future. And get this, Jesus doesn't just pray for the followers that have believed in him so far. Jesus continues to pray for those who will believe. Reminds me a little bit of Moses. Do Jesus prays for those who will believe down the road in the future. Jesus prays for a oneness so intense that God's love, which is shown in Christ, will be in us, and Christ will also be in us. What a prayer to overhear. Before arrest, crucifixion, and resurrection, Jesus prays about us. And while it isn't good to spread the gossip that we might overhear at the hospital or restaurant, or even if we overhear someone's intimate prayer with God, this is something we need to share. Jesus places the future of the church into God's hands. Jesus gives us back, and now the life of the community, the life of the church, rests in and depends on God's care. It isn't about what we can do in our control of the world or the church. It is about the sovereign grace of God. The sovereign grace of God. Today is a time in our church when we offer our gifts to Week of Compassion, which you've heard already. The name makes us think we only offer compassion one week out of the year. That is far from the truth. Week of Compassion is the outreach arm of our denomination. Throughout the year and throughout the world, the director of Week of Compassion responds to needs literally all over the world. Places that have seen the darkest of days, such as Bosnia. I try not to talk too much about Bosnia. Brian will tell you I could talk about it every day. It's tempting because every scripture I read, I can connect in some way to the horror and hope I found when I went with a Week of Compassion delegation to Bosnia. I returned a second time with Week of Compassion, and then Brian and I went on our own the third time. There are many times in all three visits that I felt as if I was listening in on intimate conversations, holy conversations, sacred conversations, details of atrocities seen and experienced, moments of hope, gratitude, and a small gift of a packet of seeds from Week of Compassion. Genocide comes through your country, and you're excited about a packet of seeds. Oh, the hope that's found in working the land, though, especially a land that has been mutilated. While I've always been supportive of and proud of Week of Compassion, it was on the trips to Bosnia that I saw the importance of our gifts, the importance of our gifts that show all of God's children the love of God, the love that Jesus prayed would abide in us. Week of Compassion responds here in the United States just as often, if not more often, than other parts of the world. I have seen a member of a church that I served fall to her knees in overwhelming gratitude when Week of Compassion showed God's love and grace when she was given a check when her house burned in a wildfire on the outskirts of Azle, Texas. I could go on and on. Food, clothing, microloans, jobs, equipment, animals, home. Jesus places us back into God's hands that we may offer life to the world through the love that Jesus showed us. And we are beyond blessed that Week of Compassion listens in to these intimate conversations around the world and responds with love. Sometimes when we listen in, sometimes when we eavesdrop, we hear more than that which we bargained. Sometimes it means we come face to face with the sovereign grace of God. Chapter 17 is a beautiful prayer and a rather humbling prayer for those of us listening in, for as I said, we are the ones for whom Jesus prays. Jesus prays for the life of the faith community to become real, even though he's about to be arrested and killed. And the only way for the faith community to become real is by the power of God, not by what we want, not by our powerful might, not by our control, not by our doing, only by the power and grace of God. Maybe, just maybe, we should spend more time listening in to those intimate conversations. Amen.